Hey, what it do, what the business is?
It is another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, I'll let your boy Animal Brown, Animal underscore Brown, if you're looking for me.
I am Spike Lou on the same social sites. Come holler at your boy in these tweet streets and everywhere else.
Man, what's popping, man? How's the quarantine doing for you? Are you still really quarantined? That's over with, bro. I'm be real.
Quarantine over with. Quarantine. People back in school. The school pictures are nuts.
The school pictures are scary.
Fam.
Like a scary movie.
I seen some pictures from TSU today.
Shoulder to shoulder.
That shit look like 99, dude. Yeah. Hell hard. Niggas was Quake. Out getting on the hose. I was like, oh my God. Corona just like.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what's going to happen, man. College football season canceled.
Don't nobody care about that, though. I'm be real.
That's big, nobody though. That's a lot. That's big.
Canceled. As long as NFL popping, we good. We Gucci.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know, man. How you holding up out there in the quarantine?
I'm good, man. Everything, listen. I took my test. I'm straight.
Did you have symptoms or you just took a random ass test?
I just took a random ass test. They were doing them for free. My partner put me on. He was like, "Shit, you want to pull up?" I was like, "All
right." Nobody do free random quarantine. I mean, COVID test if they ain't sick or nothing.
Hey, now I know, man.
That's funny. So you were negative or positive?
I'm good. I'm negativo.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Them glasses got COVID. COVID glasses on.
Shit. All right, man. Episode 361. We cracking On Deck TV podcast. This episode, YBN crew breaks up. We've got another flat earther rapper, and we discuss the best songs of the year so far. But first, Cardi B shook the internet with her latest single, WAP, featuring Megan Thee Stallion. The song and video dropped Thursday night to mixed reviews and split Twitter down the middle. Some love it, some hate it. What side do you fall on?
I'm here for it. This is on brand for Cardi. It's on brand for Megan. They're rapping well on there, explicit. Like, this is 2020 in a nutshell. This is where we are with rap now. I don't want to say this is where we are with rap, but this is a lane that has been well explored and it's very successful. Cardi, Nicki, Megan, all female rappers don't have to rap like this. I hated that narrative that was floated out there that this is an oversaturated thing. Like, you got different varieties of females. I'm not mad at this. I think that they did their thing. They came out. It was lively. It fit the brand. Like, everybody was talking about it, whether they liked it or hated it. Mm-hmm. The thing that bothered me is people, I feel like this whole clout chasing era that we in, where people feel like if they write a think piece about how they felt about Cardi and Megan disrespecting their bodies and all this stupid shit that has nothing to do with you if you didn't like it. Cut it off. Like, I seen congressmen, I seen the chick from the fucking documentary Tiger King, that shit, Carol Baskin. Like, I just seen this CeeLo said something. This nigga raping bitches out here. Like, come on, man. Like, let these women live and make their living doing what they do when they're good at it. If it was, like, too raunchy or too over the top, disrespectful to her husband or her kids, and I could see what people are saying. But, like, this is her art. Like, she doing her thing. Like, all the hating is definitely unwarranted.
I agree. I thought the song was dope. I thought the video was dope. It hit number one on Spotify and Apple Music. YouTube, it hit 26 million views in 24 hours. That's a record for an all-female collaboration on YouTube. It was highly anticipated. I was always interested when Megan came out to see how she played along with Cardi and Nicki, because let's face it, Cardi and Nicki, that's 1A, 1B, however you want to do it. And history shows us that there haven't been too many female rappers at once that were hot. So it's always interesting to see how people will get along. I love the fact that they're on here kicking it like that. I love the fact that Megan has done a song with both of them, and it's all good. Nobody sat here and dwelled on that goofy shit. So I thought the song was dope. That whole congressman, I played it by accident, and oh my God, like, man, get the fuck out of here, bro.
Drop, man. That nigga was waiting on that drop.
Stop. I didn't play it by accident. I played it purposefully.
I seen somebody was like, well, what if my kids win the car list? Like, who cares? Nigga, that's on you.
Yeah, that's nothing to do. This isn't kid music, bro. Like, there's a time and a place for everything. And this is an adult record. It is an adult video. I don't know what else to say. Like, some people were hot that Kylie Jenner was in it. 65,000 people signed a petition to have her removed. 65,000 people have way too much time on their hands, dude. Like, I like what Cardi said, kind of defending that.
What'd she say? What was the big deal about Kylie being in the video?
I just think they think that she's kind of leeching off the culture a little bit. That's the vibe that I'm getting from the people, the naysayers. I don't know. I don't follow her like that. I have no idea where that's coming from. But people are kind of like, oh, my God, why is she in here? Kind of rolling their eyes and shit. But Cardi was like, nah, her family show love to me. Offset and Travis Scott are best friends. Like, they've shown love to my daughter. They family has shown love to me. So, like, man, y'all overthinking this shit. Like, she cool people. She put other people in the video, too. There was a lot of people in there that were, I'm not going to say little known, because they have hundreds of thousands of followers, but they weren't Cardi B. Right. So, you know, Ruby Rose and a couple of other people. So I thought that was dope. She showed love to them, man. Like, I fuck with Cardi, period, though. I like her personality. So I thought it was cool.
Are you here for the Ladies Night version of this? The remix, the One Blood remix?
Yeah, female why not? Style?
Who you want to see on here? You want to see Rhapsody on this?
Nah, this ain't her bag right here.
Rhapsody, I think she can get creative with it, though. She can get creative with this.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
I seen No Name and Rhapsody.
Hey, that would be it. They would probably flip it, though.
It would be fine.
It would flip it. It would be tough. They would probably flip it on something, and that actually might be kind of dope if they did do that. That would shut up the haters and shit. Fact. If they got them on there and they flipped it in some way, shape, form, or fashion, that'll be hard. That'll be an interesting remix. I'd be here for that.
I ain't going to go too backpacky. I say one of them. We can go with maybe Rhapsody, and then like Saudi should be on there.
Sweetie,
whatever fuck her name is. City Girls 1,000,000% should be on this.
That's too ratchet, bro. We're going ratchet overload.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go on and take this shit to the max. That's what the song is about. Absolutely. So get City Girls, JT at least definitely need a verse on there.
I like the behind the scenes that Cardi posted on her IG. She posted a behind the scenes of them creating the video and kind of writing it. In the boardroom, no makeup, no glam, no flash, but them coming up with the concept of the video. I like behind the scenes shit like that where the lights and shit is all off. And it just showed them just creating. I thought that was cool. Megan was in there, her little backup dancers, and they were going over how it was going to look. And when you hear them say that and then see the video and how it turned out, like, it's cool to see shit like that, man. It's work that go into this. And I like when people point that out.
True. I agree 100%. Cardi's personality is going to keep her around for a long time.
That's a fact.
Regardless of how people feel about songs like this, like, she's going to have a personality that's going to like stick out and nail shit like this all the time.
That's why she's where she's at, and Nicki's where she's at.
Absolutely.
I had to throw that in, though.
Well, I mean, Nicki pregnant, doing her thing, so.
That's true. Shout out to her.
Next. My guy, YBN Cordae, man, who had possibly the album of the year the last time he dropped. He's dropping his name. YBN, he's going by just Cordae now. It is apparent that the YBN crew has split. Mm. And he's in discussions with Dreamville and J. Cole to join their roster. Let me ask you a question. Is this a bigger deal for Dreamville, or is this a bigger deal for Cordae?
I think it'd be a bigger deal for Cordae. We all seen this coming. The YBN crew, mainly made up of the three dudes, like the YBN Namir cat, he tweeted out, quote, "They left this YBN shit in the gutter. I'll turn it up by myself." End quote. So fans were like, oh shit. Okay. So all right, we see where that's going. But they listen, man, they've always been on that we brothers, this is family. Bro, I never bought that shit, bro. They met playing Xbox Online, fam. They're from three different parts of the country. Like, I don't even think I've seen
friends like that.
Yes, I'm saying. Like, I maybe have seen two pictures with them together. Like, bro, like Namir, he makes the faux trap rap music shit. Cordae makes music for fans of 90s hip hop. And then YBN Almighty J is famous for dating Blac Chyna. And I don't even know why she's famous. So like they're in three completely different lanes. Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah, I forgot you follow the reality TV shit. They're in three different lanes, dude. Like, so we saw this day coming. Kudos to Cordae. I didn't know about the Dreamville thing, but it makes all the sense in the world. That's a good match. That's a good match for him. J. Cole would be building a nice little MMG-like dream team if he was able to get Cordae. That'd be a nice free agent pickup. For
sure. What? Who else on Dreamville?
I like the young boy.
J.I.D.,
he nice.
You're not comparing that to MMG, bro. Stop.
Well, this is a start. Got to start somewhere. He get one more free agent, he'll be cooking.
First and foremost, for YBN, I think that goes to say something about that generation thinking that they could be friends and build long-lasting relationships off meeting off Xbox. I don't know if that's possible, but we are from a different generation. So
that's true.
Are they proving it or not? I think that's a good question, something good to follow. Secondly, this is bigger for Dreamville. Dreamville, regardless of the noise that they made, they need a star. J. Cole is, if the reports are true, seriously contemplating basketball, seriously contemplating stepping back from rap a little bit.
Yeah.
They had one of the biggest albums far as promo and even songs, Grammy nominated
too.
Dreamville, Revenge of the Dreamers, but no one, like we wondered when this first came out, took the lead and stepped up from that. Even J.I.D., he had a little bit of buzz. I ain't heard from him since quarantine. Boz, the Earth Gang, like no disrespect to them niggas, but they, after that Dreamville shit, they didn't take that next level that they should have. So I feel like J. Cole seeing this guy who people are calling the next generation's J. Cole become available, become free to be able to run around with my clique, kick it with these niggas, sharpen his swords with my guys. This is a big deal for Dreamville because they need a franchise player.
Yep.
It's J. Cole in this last years, and I don't know if J.I.D. is that dude. I don't know if Earth Gang is that dude. Respectively, what they do for their like lanes are is fantastic. But if we talk about somebody taking over for J. Cole and being groomed in his image, this is a big deal for Dreamville and the potential that YBN brings over.
Here's the problem with him signing over there, though, and I just thought about this.
Okay.
When you said that he is looked at as the next generation to J. Cole, which I agree with, I think he is.
Mm-hmm.
48 Laws of Power, you can't outshine the master. If he signs to J. Cole, he just set his ceiling. And that's not to say that that's a low ceiling. It's a very nice ceiling. J. Cole out here got his own Pumas and shit, trying out for the NBA and some more shit. So that's a very nice ceiling. Do you want to set that for yourself if you're Cordae, though? Or do you just sign to a major? You just sign to Universal and have Cordae Records and Absolutely. Do it that way?
He ain't not. I like Cordae, but he ain't got it. He ain't got Damn. That it factor way. Like,
he's only 22, though.
Like, 2 Chainz can go start a true record. He's a lot older than Cordae. Let me give you another example. Gunna got a brand, an image. I don't think Cordae got that. He ain't even in the same ballpark as those niggas. He need a J. Cole. He need a mentor. Like, he need someone that he can latch on to and someone showing him how to navigate, especially with his style and his flow. I feel like if J. Cole has that influence on him, where J. Cole was missing that influence when he was coming up, as we seen him dressed like other niggas at award shows and Mr. Fancy Watch, like you said, if J. Cole can kind of steer Cordae to stick to that one path from beginning to end, he may be bigger than Cole. He may have potential to be bigger than Cole. He may stop bathing and find him some J's to wear for 5 or 6 years, let his hair grow out and go platinum with no features. He may do that.
He got the celebrity girlfriend already and shit.
Oh, he date the tennis chick. That's interesting in itself. The little she have, her.
Naomi. Like,
cool.
Put some respect on her name, though.
I like her. She does her thing.
This will be interesting to see, though, man. I like Cordae. I'm interested to see what he's got coming up. We'll never hear from Namir or Almighty J ever again. I can go ahead and tell you that right now.
Find him another girlfriend.
That's his best bet, and get on reality TV or something. Like that, play that lane. I wouldn't even be mad at him. Like, fuck it. I've never heard a song from dude. I just know him for getting his chain took in New York and dating Blac Chyna. That's the only two things I know him for.
He was beefing with Jay Prince, right?
Nah, Jay Prince got his chain back.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that's, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Gun to my head, I couldn't name a song. Yeah. Moving on, man. On to people who I can't name a song from. GZA. Founding Wu-Tang member GZA.
You ain't on that Liquid Sword, son?
Absolutely not,
son,
B.
You tripping, son.
B. Wow. God. That's a skip, God.
Wow, son.
Founding Wu-Tang member GZA the Genius. He caught some heat online last week for not one but two conspiracy theories he posted. First, he questioned whether the Earth was really round. All right, another one of those. And then he questioned the validity of vaccines, saying we've been getting flu vaccines for over 70 years and we still get the flu. My question, should artists second guess putting their conspiracy theories out there in the world?
It depends on your demographic. Old nigga like GZA, the old niggas that listen to him believe this shit. They believe in anti-vaxxing because the niggas ain't got to get vaccinated no more. They passed that stage. They ain't got kids. The kid's 30, so they ain't being vaccinated. Or they just don't have enough knowledge. Like it's our, the irony in GZA's nickname being Genius is fucking crazy here.
Yeah.
But in all truthfulness, like when you get someone him like him, an older rapper, if you don't want to be made fun of, if you still want to be taken seriously, then yeah, you should monitor this stuff. Like you can't just be spewing anything out there. Cause forever in a day now, like the newer generations, if they even pick up on this at all, it's gonna be like, oh, that's the old weird dude who think it's flat earth. And like they're not gonna go to Liquid Swords or Wu-Tang or what people know him to be great for. I think that you get people of that age group trying to fit in and they post that weird shit on social media and it just never goes well, dude. Just like stay in your lane, my nigga. Bust a cool freestyle over some old doo-bop beat or something on IG, man. And just let the niggas live with that shit, man. Don't be over here telling flat earth. And like, don't be trying to jump in the mix, bro. Like, I don't need GZA in the mix, man.
Yeah, I didn't know GZA even was on, had an online presence like that until now.
Right.
The question is, should they second guess putting their conspiracy theories out? I actually don't think they should, because situations like this can be teaching moments. Like, I think people need to be less harsh online and take more of an educating position. This is what J. Cole was talking about on his Snow on the Bluff. Like, instead of lashing out and being aggressive or talking down to people that aren't on your level, teach them, school them, put them up on game. Like, this is what happened to Desi, the little comedian, when he put his tweet out that was off base, but at the time he thought he was actually saying some legit shit. The internet jumped on him and was like, no, bro, this is why that's not true, what you just posted. That's what people, GZA, my guy, I'm a fan or whatever. This is why the vaccination, this is why the flu still exists. This is why the earth is not flat. Like, I get it. The jokes are going to fly because it's easy to do that. But when somebody puts out something controversial or, you know, conspiracy theory like that, like, the internet should be a safe space to get put up on game, even though I know the jokes are going to fly and everybody with a fucking avatar is going to make you feel like you're dumb as hell and they're the smartest person in the world. I wish it was more of a safe space. I look at our group chat as a safe space. Shout out to the RealView group chat. You should be able to throw a theory out there and get either put up on game or be told why something is incorrect if it's incorrect, not just shit on for throwing an idea out there because you didn't know. So the internet should be like that. GZA found out the hard way that it's not.
I disagree with you. I don't think the internet should be like that. I think, like you said, group chat, conversations amongst friends, then yeah. But
look at GZA's friends, bro.
Hey, whoever, man, you got to call RZA about that. You got to call RZA. I don't think that you get to bounce ideas off in the internet, though. Like, this ain't, especially for younger people who were brought up around the internet. When you're talking about someone like GZA who should have friends that he could talk to and have conversations amongst people and Maybe he has a Wu-Tang group chat. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could bounce this off of. But trying to have the conversation online with people who, like, this, it's ruthless out here, my nigga. Like, you're not finna get no, you're not finna get no leeway, especially if you're a nigga like Jizzle, who probably halfway knows how to use this shit. I think that you do that with your friends. You don't do that on the internet, because people on the internet are not your friends. So you do that within your group chat amongst your peers, or
but they're fans.
It's not for IG. Yeah, they fans. They waiting for you to fuck up. That's what they doing. Waiting for you to fuck up so they could dog you. You have something to talk about with their friends in their group chat.
Hey, if I say something off base, somebody school me, man. Don't come at me sideways like you're a genius, because you're probably not. You just got put up on something before I did, which is highly likely. Just put me up on game, and I don't want to hear all the extra shit. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
But the earth is not flat, though, ladies and gentlemen. And the only people that I hear, it's funny. I know probably maybe four, maybe five people who are in healthcare fields, like professionally, and they all swear by flu vaccines. The only people that I hear that are anti-vaccine are people with 0 days of health education. And I find that very interesting. I'm not going to say what side of the fence I'll fall on. I just think it's interesting.
Anti-vaccine is a crazy subject and dangerous. Because if you walk around, nobody kids get vaccines, and we're looking at a much more crazy world as far as disease spreading. So,
yeah.
Conversation for another day. Your mans, before we get out of here and get to our topic of the hottest songs of the year, Baby, a.k.a. Birdman, a.k.a. Brian Williams. He's partnering with Benny Boom, and he's going to bring you a brand new film called Tasmanian Devil. Baby is dipping into a brand new forte. This movie had a lot of critical acclaim at a couple of film festivals. I got a question for you and Baby's new endeavors are concerned, as far as they're concerned. Are you excited that Baby's getting into movies, or do you just wish he would go away based off his history?
And shout out to Cash Money Films. He, along with Benny Boom, are producing this. They put the bread up behind it. I think this is dope. I'm loving this pivot from Birdman. I would absolutely rather see Cash Money Films than a new Cash Money Records stable of artists, you know, trying to reinvent Gutter Gutter for the sixth time and trying to, you know, Young Money too, Younger Money. No, like, I don't need any of that shit. I especially like that he got behind this movie that I typically wouldn't have associated with somebody like him. Because I watched the trailer to it, and it's supposed to come out this month. I don't know how COVID has affected that, but it was supposed to come out August 22nd. But the plot of Tasmanian Devil is about an African kid who's going to college in the United States and discovering fraternity life. I wouldn't have seen that coming from Birdman. So I think that's super dope. He didn't give us the same run-of-the-mill, you know, baller blocking seven, you know, or, you know, the paid in full wannabe shit. He gave us something different. I don't even know if it's going to be good or not. I'm just glad that he's thinking outside of the box. Benny Boom is the right guy to do it. We know his music video catalog is ridiculous. He's also dabbled in a couple of movies, directed Next Day Air, which was some look cool, and All Eyes on Me, which was also some look cool. But I think with some more reps, he'll be all right behind the film in terms of movies. But it's a great look for Birdman, man. Shout out to Cash Money Films. I'm here for it.
I agree with you. I think the Birdman's vision is one thing that can't be denied. Like, the vision for Hot Boys, put big timers together, split them up, got Juvenile, and that's musically. But still, there's a marketing to it. There's a whole approach that he took. It took Cash Money to what we know it as today, even with Drake and Nicki and Young Money, like you said. Like, Baby is a visionary, and I'm very excited to see his input or what he even ties his name to musically because of his vision. I think this movie, not only will it be dealing with the fraternity life, I think it's also going to be like an immigrant, like, and he's moving to like a lower class neighborhood as well. So you're going to be dealing with like the hood and shit as an African guy over in college. So it sounds like an interesting story, one that I haven't seen a lot of. I definitely think that this is something or a career path that Baby can continue to delve in, because he got vision. He knows how to spot The Wave, The Next Thing. What was the shit that he did with Rich Homie Quan and Young Thug? Rich Gang?
Yeah.
Like, even every time that you counted him out, he was able to pivot and reinvent himself with brand new vision. So I think also with the movies, he's going to be able to do the same thing. He's going to find him a dope lane that's going to fit him, and then he's going to take off. I feel like Cash Money Films is the next thing.
And he can stand right behind the scenes. I don't need Birdman starring in this.
Nah, he ain't got to be in nothing.
We don't need any
soundtrack.
Of that.
Soundtrack. Nah, none of that.
We don't need the lug just, boots just sign the all check. Through the movie and shit. Like, no, bro. Just, like you
just
said.
Sign the check.
Sign the check over. Sit back and watch the residuals come in when it gets syndicated on HBO, dude. Like, just do that. That would be a great move. I don't need another revamp of Cash Money. I promise you. He may have one or two dope rappers. Man, just link up with somebody else and have them run that shit. Birdman, this is your lane right here. If you are listening, Cash Money Films is the play. I am feeling this. Hey, we can get the Cash Money Chronicles. Line that up. You want to do that? Yeah, we can do that. Let's keep, you know what I'm saying? Like, Benny Boone did All Eyes on Me.
The Birdman documentary was a flop.
Yeah, the Apple Music joint was true. That wasn't it.
It was a flop.
They dropped the ball on that. I don't even think they even finished it. They were supposed to have like a part two or something. That shit was garbage. And then he was supposed to do something with Ray J. And shit. Like, no, nigga, no. We don't need any of that. Just do the Cash Money Films. Dope, interesting stories that haven't been told. Man, he could parlay himself. Next thing you know it, he's going to get the face tats removed, man. We're going to be like, damn, look at Birdman. That shit crazy. He's going to be on Vogue talking Hollywood Reporter, nigga, talking about his fucking movies. That'd be dope, man. I'm here for it, man. Shout out to Birdman.
Facts.
No more music, though. I'm glad he retired. He said he hung it up.
Please, God. Bless us with no more Birdman verses.
Y'all let us know what y'all think of Birdman and Cash Money Films real quick, though. Baller Blocking. Good movie, slaw movie.
Some slaw?
Was it? No, it wasn't that bad.
Slaw.
Damn, it's been a minute. I don't even know what it was really about.
I don't either. I remember it was some slaw, though. But I ain't gonna, I do remember, not even remember, but watching that No Limit Chronicles, that made me want to watch I'm About It again. Is that streaming anywhere?
It's on YouTube.
I don't
want to
watch it on YouTube. Well, I guess I can watch it on YouTube. It looks terrible, though.
I mean, quality.
You need to go on HD, that motherfucking drop. It on Netflix.
This was pre-4K.
The new generation need to see that I'm About It in HD.
I ain't gonna lie. Watching it in 2020 is rough. Like, they going super hard on
that. No, that's what the new generation need to see what P was about, man. People got P fucked up.
I don't know if that's going to fly today.
Noodles. They see these noodles and these ugly-ass shoes, these Maseratis or whatever the fuck this nigga putting out. Got him on, what is it, Next Generation Hip Hop, whatever that is he on with Lil Romeo.
And they need growing to see, up hip hop.
Yeah, they need to see I'm About It. They need to see P and Boz. Oh, I'm About It. Let niggas know. I was so happy to see Boz, man, on the No Limit Chronicles, too.
That's a fact.
Boz was like the first nigga, the famous non-rapping shout-out nigga.
That's a fact. Like, yeah, it's a huge fact. But yeah, that I'm About It, boy. Hey, listen, I remember, I watched it the other day. I watched about half of it. I remember more of it than I thought I did. I remember, it's a lot of lines on there that's actually pretty memorable. It's a bad movie, but it's a good bad movie.
Dolphy and Willie was a classic character.
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. Officer Friendly. Officer Friendly. All of them. It's tough, but it, boy,
that
it's,
shit was
it's a little edgy.
A little edgy. It's
a little edgy, guys.
Nigga said those was real crack smokers. Boss.
Yeah, that shit right there, man.
Oh, man. Y'all check out I'm About It, man, if you can find it on YouTube.
All right, man. We talking music. We are here. August, fourth quarter is around the corner. We thought it was going to be a little bit of a bigger year than it was. COVID threw us a little curveball, but we still got some good records, some good joints this year. We saw a couple of lists. You shot me a list that Hip Hop DX had as the best songs of the year so far. Got us thinking. What do we think are the best songs of the year so far? So listen, before we go into our shit, and we've got a special surprise too for the listeners after we review and go over a couple of these joints, we're going to look at Hip Hop DX's list of their best songs of the year so far. and just break down maybe three or four of these a piece. Like, what stood out? What did they get right? What did they get way off? What jumped out to you as their list as having one of the best songs of the year? What's the first joint you saw or noticed?
What jumped out to me, and just to reiterate on the topic, you wanted to have a conversation on, you know, how singles, songs, music industry continuing to be affected by COVID. Yeah. And like you said, we were expecting the Drakes and we were expecting the Kendrick Lamars and more from, well, J. Cole been doing his thing, but Big Sean, he's been a hold up. So not having those big name artists, just the songs that were keeping things going during this time, music business is essentially shut down. Basically. So to be able to get traction and have a list of songs halfway through the year, I feel like is a good thing to talk about as far as us as hip-hop connoisseurs, just on where the game is, what's being digested, and how it's being digested. With that being said, The Adventures of Moon Man and Slim Shady by Kid Cudi and Eminem surprised the shit out of me that this is getting the people were. When it dropped, I think it was about a month ago.
Yeah, give or take.
Somewhere in 3 weeks ago. I was surprised people were even discussing this. I guess that I'm not in the Kid Cudi or Eminem bandwagon place. But the reaction that this got online and the praise that people were giving this song, like, I was completely shocked about it. And to see it on this list and not see it as like a throwaway, even though Eminem is on there, is baffling to me. Did you like this song?
Yeah, that song was fire. It was an unexpected collaboration from two people with strong, loyal fan bases.
Mm-hmm.
They both have two very, very strict fan bases. And to see them come together, it was a big deal to those fan bases. And the song is actually banging. Like, that beat is fire. Although, I don't know what Kid Cudi is talking about. Personally, I'm gonna keep it 1,000.
Never know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I Kid Cudi's okay, he's tolerable, but he really don't be talking about nothing to me. But Eminem murdered that. That's one of his better verses in a long time, and so it worked for me though. That song was hard.
The next one of my favorite verses of the year, and I never thought I'd be the person saying this. Freddie Gibbs featuring Tyler, the Creator, Something to Rap About.
Yeah.
Tyler was in his bag on this song. I loved it. Like I say, from the time I quoted it from the album, this sound like the brand new boat I'm finna buy and finna jump off of. But however you open the line, I feel like it was classic. It was dope for that song. Tyler, the Creator, is getting a lot more traction as being a dope artist. I think after the Grammy snub and then with the whole conversation from there, not even just him being a dope rapper, but that Igor album and him being a dope artist and being looked at outside of the box, being listed on this list, being having such a dope rap verse to even add on to the complexity of himself as an artist, I feel like was a dope look. Did you hold that Tyler verse in high regard like I did?
The Tyler verse is cool. I do like the song.
It's cool.
It's cool. Tyler, the Creator, is tough for me to get into his rapping. I'm going to be real. I'm going to keep it a buck. But I do. The song is fire, period. Mm. That's one of the better songs on that project. And I'm not surprised that that's on here. There are one or two that I prefer on that album more than that. But again, it's an unlikely duo. That's another one. An unlikely duo, just like the Kid Cudi and Eminem, is Freddie Gibbs and Tyler, the Creator. It's a very unlikely duo, but it worked. And so I can understand why they put it on here. So I'm not mad at that. Give me one more on the list.
The last one is probably the biggest song that I'm going to take off this list. It almost made my three that we're going to select as our favorite three songs of the year so far. But I'd rather put it here, and that's the Lil Baby Bigger Picture. That album's fire. I felt like of all the Black Lives Matter protesty type songs, that this was the best one. I liked Lil Baby and what he did on here and the bars that he put down, especially because you weren't expecting it. You were expecting him to come from another place talking about this or not even to address it at all and just stay in his trap lane. But for him to address it, the visual to it was absolutely amazing. And I think that this sticks out to me because of in the future, people are going to look back at this song and say, this is what put Lil Baby on another level. This is what put him from trap rap popular to a superstar.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talked about that song, man. And Listen, it's one of the better songs of the year. You know what I mean? When you think of 2020, that's going to stand out, in my opinion, at the end of the year. He touched on the things that are going on from his perspective. He did it in his way. We haven't really seen that side of Baby like that up until this point. And I thought it caught a lot of people off guard in a good way. So I absolutely understand them putting this on here. That was a good look, dope video. That song gets played on the radio. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a banger, bro. Like, it's
especially in the A, nigga. It's the theme song.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, and I'm here for it, man. So I'm glad he took that approach to speak on those things. And he kept it 100, man, from his perspective. I like it. That takes a lot of responsibility and a little bit of guts to do that, because you can get crucified for that if you do it the wrong way. So I applaud him for stepping out on that ledge. If I had to
three songs you got.
So you're saying those are three for three, and that's a respectable list that those three are on there. Those three are respectable.
There was one surprise for me, the Eminem and Kid Cudi. That was a surprise. I'm surprised that those names still move the meter and are listed on, you know, best of lists still in 2020. Just especially how quiet Cudi has been, and Eminem's been mediocre at best. And then the other ones, I feel like they're going to be for Lil Baby, this is going to be a marker in his career, which is why it affirmed that this being on the list of songs of the year lets me know that people are paying attention. And the Tyler Creator, I was just like, I said, surprised. I wasn't out of context when I said, damn, this nigga, he ripped this. Like, I ain't even a Tyler fan. This nigga going in. So, like, those were the three I picked out where, like, I felt like I was on track with what they were saying and felt, other than the Eminem joint. What did you have? Like, what were your thought processes and picks?
Looking at this list, again, this is Hip Hop DX top songs of the year so far. They have a song on here, Jack Harlow, What's Poppin' Remix, featuring Tory Lanez, DaBaby, and Lil Wayne. DJ Drama, I got to give it to him. You want to talk about somebody that's reinvented themselves? Obviously, he was the mixtape king. Shout out to K Slay. When the mixtapes were popping in the mid-2000s, Feds kicked the door, put an end to that shit. He discovered Lil Uzi. Lil Uzi's disgruntled. Okay, cool. I'm going to discover this Jack Harlow kid from Louisville, Kentucky. And he's got it. He's been pumping him for the last year and a half, maybe 2 years, on his IG. And here comes the day when that kid has a hit. That's all on satellite radio, terrestrial radio. And he's got big dogs, hot ass rappers, and a legend with Wayne on his remix. I have to give it to not only the artist himself, Jack Harlow, because the song is hot. I'm not gonna lie, like, the song is banging. But I got to give it to DJ Drama, man, for even being able to put that play together, reinvent himself again from behind the scenes, not letting losses get in the way of continuing to grow as an executive and win. That Jack Harlow Was Popping is banging, and the remix is hard. All of them took flight on there, in my opinion. Are you fucking with that? What's popping? Brand new cool got options.
That's one of those songs you look up and you like, you can't believe that you like it. And then by the third or fourth time you're hearing it, you like head bomb, you know a couple of words and you feel it. I ain't think that I would be the nigga singing no Jack Harlow song when it came on, but that motherfucker is banging. That What's Popping, I like it. Everybody ripped it on there, like you said. You got the big names on there. Even he ripped it. Clever little lines. I think watching Dave also helped me, like, be receptive to this. Dave was such a funny sitcom, and it just made you, like, the world of white rappers makes you want to understand it more, with the exception of Eminem. But, yeah, this Jack Harlow song. I like it, man. I like this What's Poppin'.
That's a hot song. I ain't gonna front. Next up on here, I thought it was interesting. They have Future and Drake, Life is Good. Now, this came out at the top of the year before shit hit the fan, and we
made
thought
you think it was gonna go off.
Yeah, we thought that we're like, okay, like, this shit. Listen, we got the What a Time to Be Alive 2 about to drop. They got the big dog video with them in the fucking burger place and shit, like the dope video with them acting in it. We got the beat switch up, like Drake ripping it, Future doing his Future thing. 2020 was looking very promising early. Then shit kind of hit the fan. It started to turn into a Future featuring Drake, and Future did a remix and didn't get Drake on the remix. Then got a little tricky. But I think people forget when that came out how promising the year was getting ready to look. And I think it got swept under the whole COVID rug and it's a little bit forgotten about at this point, but I thought the record was hot, and I thought it worked for them. It showcased their strengths. I think it's smart for them to rap on two different types of beats, honestly, and combine them into one. I think that's a nice play for them. It worked on What a Time to Be Alive on the one or two joints. And so people forget about that record, I believe, and I think that was banging. It seems like forever ago when it came out. It seemed like 3 years ago.
Nigga, I thought that was last year. I thought that was December, nigga. I'm looking it up on my phone when you said that. It seemed like that shit happened in 2019. COVID been lingering around for so long, but
yeah,
it would have been cool to hear that somewhere. It would have been cool to hear that song out and about, maybe a little lounge or something like that. But I agree with you. That this was like, this had the expectations for the year high. We thought that 2020 was going to come out pitching fastballs, nigga, only to be derailed by COVID. But yeah, I love this song. I like Future's version. I like Drake's part. Like, this shit's fire.
It worked.
And yeah, unfortunately, the curveball, like I said, the COVID threw, we weren't able to see the fruition of that whole campaign. But I was here for that. I still listen to that. Life is good.
Yeah, that's banging. And then thirdly is an actual song that I have on my list too. It's Jay Electronica, Jay-Z, Travis Scott with The Blinding. That's probably my favorite song on that Jay Electronica, the one that I revisit up until this point. I know that album was a little underwhelming for some. The impact wasn't as heavy as we thought it may be, considering people have been waiting 10 years for this project. And to consider that Jay-Z, the arguably the greatest rapper of all time, was attached to it. It didn't really make this big of a splash as a lot of people wanted to, but that Blinding song is undeniable. That shit is complete and utter flames. They both on us snapping. Travis Scott on there. You could have argued that was a placeholder for Kanye, but they had Travis Scott anyway. The Dream on there with some ad-libs and shit. That shit is fire. That's early on in the record. So I thought, like, I was thinking the album was about to be insane hearing that. I think that's like the second or third song. It didn't quite live up to that, but I've got, it's a good album, but it just ain't.
It's not a good album. I ain't listened to that Jay Electronica in full since the day it came out.
See what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean it's bad, it's though. It's not a slaw. No.
That's what it means.
No.
If Jay-Z wasn't on that album, you wouldn't be defending it.
But he is on there. So it's
only Jay-Z that you're defending. That's not the Jay Electronica album.
That song is fire.
I got to double back. I ain't going to lie. I ain't familiar with that. Like I said, I ain't listened to that since the shit came out. Not a Madden playing album. I'm getting work done in the lab playing album. I'm not sure when you're listening to that. But, you know. I'd have to double back. I was surprised. Did you know Jay Electronica was like 42 years old?
I didn't know that, but it makes sense, though.
Damn, I thought dude was in his early 30s, dude.
Like, no, bro. Hell no.
42?
That makes sense.
Damn.
What
planet does that make sense, a nigga delaying his album for 10 years and he's 42 years old?
It makes sense, bro. The delaying his album period didn't make sense, but him being 42 does. That adds up. I'm going to be real. And that song made my list. That shit is fire.
What's your third song?
I just named three.
That was your third song?
Yes.
Finally, you're done. So what were your three songs of the year? Like, not off of their list, but the songs that stood out to you outside of the context that Hip Hop DX had. Like, what songs did you already have in your head? Like, this is going to be in my rotation from here on out.
Here are three of mine on the list. I've got Freddie Gibbs, Scotty Beam, with Ross. Listen, man, that shit is fucking ridiculous. It's probably my favorite song on arguably my favorite album of the year. So I've got that up there as one of my songs of the year. I've got Pop Smoke, Got It On Me. You know what I'm saying? Pop Smoke, I was becoming a big fan earlier in the year. He got killed and they put his posthumous album out. And I thought it was some little cool. He experimented a lot on there, but he had a joint where he sampled that Many Men. It's called Got It On Me, which was fire. That is on repeat to this day. And then my third, I'll go with, Starlito, Daddy Issues. Mm. We reviewed that album. That was my favorite song on that album. Him flipping the term Daddy Issues and Speaking on it and how it affects men, I thought was genius. And especially how it affects men that end up with kids. I thought that was especially genius. So those are three of my top songs of the year. If you are asleep on those, please wake up. They are all complete and utter flames.
That is a fact. That Scotty Beamon is definitely an honorable mention on mine, man. I don't want to say it twice. But for my three, your man's, that Chicago freestyle, I'm fucking with it heavy.
Oh, yeah, that's hard.
The Chicago freestyle was fucking fire. Drake got off and that's his bag.
Yeah, it is. Is that the what's the name sample? That's not the song cry, is it?
Song cry. They said 2:30.
Oh, with the mama man on there singing. That shit stupid.
Yeah, that shit banging. Slim Thug is gonna be quietly y'all listen to that Slim Thug Thug Life album, and at the end of the year you're gonna be talking about it. It's one of the better albums, especially if you're about in our demographic of hip hop. But a song on there called My Shoes, you got the Anthony Hamilton sample on there.
That's tough.
Immediately on repeat. And added to the repertoire. So that was one of my favorite songs of the year so far. And lastly, man, I can't leave the man J. Cole out, Lion King on Ice. Murdering that. That's
you like that one over the other one?
I do. I like that one a little bit better, man. Is that the one that Cole produced, or is that the one that your boy produced?
No, that's the one that T-Minus produced.
T-Minus produced that one. Yeah. That one just sounded a little bit more crisp to me. I prefer that Lion King on Ice. So those are my three favorite songs, just since we're having the conversation right now.
I looked at this list. Let me point out something that doesn't belong on here.
Okay.
There's one or two, and this is my girl, so I hate that I got to even say this. Megan Thee Stallion. She got the girls in the
Savage.
Hood. No, that song was popping. I can't do nothing with that. Her and Beyonce, that was popping. The girls in the hood joint, though, that didn't make no noise.
Like, it should have been song bigger than that.
What I'm saying. I think she went to the sample, she went to the hip hop sample 90s well too soon, because she had just did that. I'd rather keep. She already just did that Pac. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you turn around and do the Boys in the Hood, the easy shit. Like, No. That wasn't it. They have this song here as one of the better songs of the year. That's not true. And I fucks with her heavy. She snapped on this Cardi. I actually liked the Pac sample joint. I actually fucked with that. And the Savage was, you know, her and Beyonce, that's going to go. That Girls in the Hood is a skip, though. That's nothing.
You can't ever go wrong with that beat. And her riding
super
hard. Her riding that beat is pretty. It's therefore, but like you said, it wasn't like just creative. You know what I'm saying? Like, she needed to do something else on there, have some more people on something, just something creative about it. It should have been. So I agree with you there. If I had to stick one more that stuck out to me and hit the nail on the head, you talked about your boy Pop Smoke. I like the Woo. That song with him and 50 and Roddy Rich. That shit bang.
Yeah.
That shit right there bang.
That was the experimental shit that I was talking about. That he was working more on the harmonizing tip. You could tell 50 was coaching him.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. I just thought it was too soon. I'm gonna be real. I thought he should have rolled that drill sound a little bit longer. But people like that song though. Like that song was
Absolutely. You were saying
Roddy Rich on fire.
You were saying something before we started recording about your man with Polo G.
I like Polo G.
Yeah, you were saying something about one of his songs.
I like Polo G. It's not. They do have a Polo G song on here. This isn't the one that I prefer. I like the one. I like the one featuring. Chopper. It's not on here, but I do like it. But I like Polo G as a person. I watched a little documentary on him. His mom is his manager. He in Chicago trying to make it out. You know how that go.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty interesting. He got his head on straight, man. He named his album The GOAT. And when asked about the title, he said it wasn't in relation to greatest of all time. He said too many people have come before him and paved the way for him to call himself that. But it was more had to do with his astrological sign. And I thought that was a smart answer for a young cat. So I really fuck with the boy Polo G. I like him.
What's
I rock with that. I can't remember. I ain't going to fuck his sign up. But it had to do with the goat and horns or some shit.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not really sure.
I'm out the loop on the astrological signs, if I can say this shit.
I ain't up on him yet. I ain't really. I'm gonna have to check him out and make sure I see that.
And real quick though, speaking of Chicago, man, we gotta say a rest in peace to FBG Duck as well. The Chicago artist, he was only 26 years old. He was gunned down in actually a high-end part of Chicago, in the high-end shopping district in Chicago. He was a popular in that drill scene in the Chi, man. And it was sad. I saw his mom talk on a press conference asking people not to retaliate because his brother, who was also a rapper, had been killed 2 years ago. So she lost both her sons to gun violence, and they were both musicians. He had four kids. It was a terrible, bad situation all the way around, but we gotta say rest in peace to him.
Is that FBG for Free Bands Gang? Is
he? I don't believe so.
You don't know.
Nah, it's FBG Clout Boy. Is this some Chicago shit?
Man, that whole situation is, you gotta be from Chicago, I guess, to understand it. Cause I seen some crazy stuff going on, man. Chief Keef was making fun of him dying. And it was somebody else.
I know Dirk had.
He was beefing with all of them niggas, the FBG Duck nigga. Yeah. And one of his homeboys had an interview with saying he had been telling him to leave Chicago because, like, everybody, he was telling him, so you're going to get caught lacking one day and you got too much beef with too many niggas. A nigga dropped a diss song about this nigga the day after he died.
Yep.
He
had it already recorded.
Yeah. And, but they said that he had a history of making fun of niggas that died and shit too, so
yeah, it's different, man. It's different up there. Chicago, man, y'all stay safe up there. But to these songs...
Before you get off of there, have you seen the picture of Chicago tonight? Like, you seen what they did? Nigga, they raised the bridges. You can't even get into downtown. This is like some shit off Batman. Now they let the bridges up where you couldn't get in the city?
Yeah.
Chicago blocked off like this. So the state was looting last night downtown. That raises the bridges up. You can't even get into the main part of the city.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. Wow. 2020, folks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's wild. Wow. Like, back to these songs of the year. What we're going to do is we're going to put together a playlist in conjunction with this episode of 20 songs from On Deck. It'll be on all platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, and Tidal. It'll have the songs that we mentioned that were our favorites, and then a couple of more, obviously, because we didn't name 20. You'll get 20 bangers. Some of them you might have heard of. Some of them you might not have. Man, we look to put you on, man. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate you guys rocking with us on the list. We got some wins and losses for this week, right?
Absolutely, man. We got our first W to Rosé and 2 Chainz for putting on a solid battle and for being smart, capitalizing off the moment and announcing 2 new albums that are on the way. Which one are you looking for? Chainz, Rosé, or both?
Both of them, man. I want to hear both of those. Titty Boy sound like he was pretty pissed off on Breakfast Club for the disrespect that he was given. And Ross, man, like Ross forever in mode, like one of the best album announcements I've ever seen.
Man.
Richer than I ever been. Ross is cold. Ross is born to be a rapper. But yeah, man, I like the way that they handled themselves during that battle. Yeah, I like the way that they played it afterwards. They were respectful to each other. Yeah. It's just everything and the whole way that they even like the afterwards and the beforewards to that battle. It shows the elk of MC that both of those guys are.
Who did you have winning?
2 Chainz. No, I'm bullshitting. It was Ross. It was 10-9-1.
That's about as close as you can get.
Yeah, it was 10-9-1.
Yeah. I thought it was entertaining. It started off slow. We're starting to see that as a trend. They kind of start off slow. Like, people don't really know how to, like, do I talk shit?
That's why you need somebody in there that don't give a tip, gonna make that motherfucker do what it do, man.
Yeah, that's true.
You need somebody with a little bravado. Like, 2 Chainz and Ross, they got that swag. They got swag. Yeah. They ain't got their bravado like a nigga like Tip. Like, yay, gonna have if he come in there and do that shit. Like, a nigga that's gonna be like, nah, y'all ain't fucking with me.
Yeah.
Ross said he got 20 more for whoever wanted to, though.
Yeah, and he does, because I was wondering why he didn't play a certain joint, and he actually does. He might can do 20 more. He might be doing 20 more.
He might got like 15 more. He ain't got 20 more.
He might
Ross got 20 ain't got more. Ross ain't got 20 more to go with a nigga like 2 Chainz. He go with Wale. He maybe go with a nigga like Wale.
He somebody might got 20 like more.
Nah, absolutely not. Like, if Yo Gotti called Rick Ross tomorrow and said, come on with them.
He got him easy.
What?
Easy.
After putting the toilet, you would have been easy. Right. You would have been right if he hadn't already battled 2 Chainz. If Rose got to show up next week and battle Yo Gotti,
easy.
Gotti going to get him out of there. Gotti got hits. Hits.
Yeah, 8 of them.
Making hits for like 10 years.
He got 8 of them.
8? Yo Gotti?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Shout out to Gotti, man. Tennessee stand up. We had another W to Kodak Black. He saw the video of the Burger King employee getting slapped by the angry customer. I'm sure everybody has seen it by this time. He got his lawyer on the phone and said, hey, man, we're going to pay for that guy a vacation anywhere in the world, man. So kudos to Kodak Black making a difference even while still being locked up.
That's real shit, man. Shout out to Kodak, man. Hopefully he gets everything taken care of and gets out soon and is able to continue to turn over the new leaf that he's found. But that video was disturbing, man.
Now, little dude was lucky. Tripping, man. Fuck wrong with you, man?
You know what I'm saying? Little buddy lucky he didn't get killed, man.
Yeah, he was bullshit.
Nobody like that, boy. That was some bullshit.
He was bullshit. Shout out to Kodak, man. That was a nice play. Also, Adrian Broner reached out and said he would give dude free boxing lessons.
He need a box. Adrian Broner need to hit that nigga that hit him. Hit that white dude and smack that white boy. He need to hit him.
Yeah.
I love to see that.
Lastly, we have an L to Wale. He's following in J. Cole's footsteps, trying to play pro ball. Not basketball, but football. He expressed interest via Twitter in playing for the XFL. Do you think the 5'10", 170-pound Wale has a shot at the XFL?
Wale got to relax, man. This is why Wale rubs people the wrong way. Your man's got as legitimate shot as you could have as a rapper to get in the NBA in 2020. Yeah. And this nigga's like, well, shit, I'm good at football. I can play in the X. Like, man, shut up, dude. No. Just congratulate your mans and your little XFL pipe dreams. Like, no, relax. This is another L for Wale and being Wale.
Yeah, he tripping. No one wants to play for the XFL, though. Like, nobody wants to grow up to play for the XFL. Let's be very clear.
Multi-million-dollar rapper. Like, you're not going to go play running back in the XFL and make $35,000, dude.
Yeah, nah. He put and get your neck broke trying to go through the hole. No, nigga.
Dreads going to fly out of his helmet and shit, nigga. Yo,
he put the L in XFL with that. On Decker of the Week, shout out to Facebook, Rap Chat, the group. Funniest comment I saw all week. Shout out to Reggie Jackson, man. He said, I'm going to be heated if they go a whole 5-episode series and don't tell us what the hell happened to Mr. Servon's eye. I am with you.
That's
on that.
That's funny as fuck.
I thought I was the only person that peeped that. Are they not going to say what happened to Servon?
You weren't the only person that peeped that nigga eye.
It took a minute for me to notice.
No, it didn't, bro. The motherfucker's green. He got a green eye looking like Cyclops, dude.
they need to elaborate on that.
That I agree with them. That's a great comment. That's a great pull for On Deck of the Week. The professional On Deck of the Week, we're going to go with Hit-Boy and Nas for working together for a Nas album, allegedly. Nas came out and addressed all the... Well, he ain't really addressed his bad beat selections, but he does know that it exists and he's going to work with Hit-Boy. So I'm anxious to see how that sounds. So On Deck of the Week to those two for working together.
Man, August 21st, I believe, is when that's supposed to come out. I don't know if it's an EP or a full project, but my money's on an EP. It's probably going to be 6-7 songs max, but we'll see. What you got to put me on?
To put you on... a brand new show on Apple TV started off slow. It ain't brand new now, actually. It's called The Morning Show.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Carell, Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon.
Yep.
A host of other people. It's a very interesting show. The last two episodes are fucking amazing. Just based off the conversation that you can have based off what happened. Like 7 Well, 8, 9, and 10. 8 when the shit actually happens, then 9 and 10, the reaction to what happens. Like that shit, it's some good ass TV. You should see it and have a conversation with people who, you know, you're close to, like you said in your group chats. But very interesting. I can't wait to see you guys watching and I can ask y'all what y'all think.
Yeah, I saw the first episode when it first came out. I don't know why I stopped because I thought the first episode was cool. But
I cannot wait till you finish it.
Like, yeah, you can ask the hell out of
it. Nah, the question is must ask though. Like it's a must conversation to have after the 7th episode, 8, 9, and 10. Just like how he dealt with what went on. Like that shit good as fuck. The black chicken that deserves a fucking Emmy for her role too. And you're gonna know exactly who I'm talking about by the end of episode 10.
Shout out to Apple TV Plus, man. Defending Jacob on there is fire. If I had to put you on something, I'm going to go to the music tip. You mentioned Slim Thug earlier with his album that came out earlier this year. He's 2 for 2 this year. He just dropped another project with Killer Killian called Down in Texas. It's Killer more Keon, the same people. Slim Thug sticks to the script. Mm-hmm. And then Killer can already rap. People may or may not know or be on him like that. But this a dope project, 10 songs, straight to the point. You got a couple of fire-ass samples on there. Slim Thug staying in his lane, doing what he does best, not trying to be 19 years old again, not out here trapping, not doing no cornball shit. He doing big boss talking on there, and I'm here for it. Another quality project for Slim Thug, aging gracefully in this hip-hop shit.
He is, man. He's getting better with age. He is 100% getting better with age. That is a fact.
Shout out to Slim Thug, man. I'm fucking with it. Guys, let us know some of your top songs of the year on Deck TV Podcast on Instagram. Hit the links in the bio. We'll have the links to our official 2020 playlist so far. Some of our favorite songs, man. 20 piece of them things.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate you guys joining in to the On Deck TV Podcast. Check out the Patreon. Check out all the additional content that we got for you. We're reviewing some albums. We talk about some movies. Got the sports things going with the FSP guys. Whole lot of good content from Realville Media over at the Patreon. And once you get done with that, go over to YouTube. Check out all the videos associated with the network. That's Full Sport Press. That's the On Deck TV Podcast. That's fresher than your average, man. You go check all of that stuff out and show your support. We greatly appreciate it. Support the real.